Open our Bibles again tonight to 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we were this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. We began preaching this morning on the subject of enduring hardness. Enduring hardness. Let's read again and starting in verse number 1. If you'd like to stand, you're welcome to. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Let's pray, and then you can be seated. Father, I want to thank you again for the privilege to be in your house this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the grand honor of being able to hold your word in front of us tonight and read it. And Lord, we anticipate even now the preaching from it. And I pray, dear Lord, for the special anointing that would enable us to preach the Word of God with power. We pray, Lord, that anything and everything in our life that would grieve the Spirit of God to be cleansed from us this evening. Help me, I pray, to think your thoughts. Speak your word. May I be an instrument in your hands. May you get the glory. Dear Lord, may the word of God go forth in this congregation and out into the unseen audience as well, with conviction and with help. And Lord, just whatever's needed, that you would grant those things to be accomplished. And Lord, it is a blessing to us to know that, Lord, we are doing a little something for you. And Lord, we certainly want to do more for you. Have your will in your way, and again, help me to think and bring to my attention things I need to see and say. And Lord, what you do for us, we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The subject in verse number 3, the first part, I'll read verse 3 and 4 once again. Thou therefore, he's speaking to Timothy, thou is personal, thou therefore. So in light of that, I just saw that. Can I say that you and I ought to be listening tonight to what is being said in these verses from a personal standpoint? Amen. You'll never get any help by saying they need it. He needs it. She needs it. But Paul is preaching to Timothy and instructing Timothy and said, thou therefore endure hardness personally, whether anybody else is or not, you can. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Endure hardness. The word hardness has got a hold of my heart probably a week and a half to 2 weeks or so ago, and I've been looking at it, studying it, meditating on it. And I tried to preach a little on it this morning, and the Lord just kept developing it in our heart as we went along. I wasn't really aiming to preach tonight on it. I thought we'd cover it all this morning, but I found out when God gets in something, He knows how to expand it. He knows how to break it down and put it on the plate to where all of us should be able to get it. Thou therefore endure hardness. And this enduring hardness, we'll say something about it later, but it is not a suggestion, by the way. Amen. It is not a suggestion. I was going to start out with the illustration, but I think I'm going to end with that. I want us to just focus in a little bit tonight on the term endure hardness and what are some of the things that are embedded in that term endure. And we need that. You better have some endurance. And by the way, hello, this is good. Lord, just warmed my heart with it. This endurance is not physical. This endurance here in this verse is not something that you have to create. This endurance here is not of you. It's through you, but not of you. Does that make good sense? This endurance, amen, comes from the Lord through you. And I'll say more about that. But he said, thou therefore endure hardness. Now, I've got some ground to cover tonight, and I want to try to not be in a hurry, but I don't want to be extensive either, and I don't know how to do neither one. But first, the thing that I see here is, number one, there is should be an expectation of hardness. Does everybody see that? Thou therefore endure hardness. There's no parentheses there with if it comes, if there's hardness. No, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as if expect it, it's coming. It's a part of life. You cannot evade it. You cannot escape it. You can't run away from it. It's something that you are going to have to do only one thing, and that is endure it. Hardness is going to be something that's coming. So the first thing I noticed, and I believe it would help us if we would get that in our mind tonight, that hardness should just go ahead and be expected. Do you think that's what's behind what is said in the book of Peter when he said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened to you? Do you think that's kind of the same idea? Think it not strange. Don't be shocked. Don't be blown away by when strange things happen. No, he said, think it not strange. Go ahead and just get it in your mind. These things are going to happen. Things are going to tear up. Amen. Is that right, Brother Aaron? Vehicles are going to tear up. Wash machines are going to tear up. Amen. You're going to have leaks under your sink at times. Amen. Your roof's going to leak at times. You're going to have to replace a window every once in a while. You have to buy a new lawnmower every once in a while. Those things are a part of life. I don't like it. I don't like it, and you don't like it. But nevertheless, if we wouldn't be knocked down, I don't think we would be knocked down or around by hardness if we had get it in our mind, that's just the way it's going to be. It's not all hardness. I want to thank you, Lord, for that thought. Everything's not hardness. Y'all didn't get that. I'm telling the Lord, just give that to me. Just as it went out and I saw it and I thought, man, that's good. But the devil will convince you sometimes it's all hardness. You're in bad shape if you get in that place there where you can't see any goodness for the hardness. You can't see blessings for the burdens. Amen. You can't see how good God's been to you because all you're focusing on is that one or two or three or four hard things that you're dealing with in your life. And you know some of the hard things that I dealt with last year I'm not dealing with today. Thank you, Lord, for that thought. I'm glad hardness is not permanent. I mean, when hardness comes in your life, whatever the issue is, amen, it doesn't bring its suitcase unless you're marrying to it. Say amen, girls. Now, that's just something you're going to have to live with till death do you part. That's just all I know to tell you. That's my counsel to y'all. Till death do you part, just endure to the end. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't know how I got on that. But expectations of hardness. Endurance is never optional. Listen to this right here. I'm going to read this. Lord, give it to me. Endurance is never optional when one lives for the purpose of pleasing Him who hath called you to be or chosen you to be a soldier. When you're living with that purpose to please Him, endurance is not an option. Amen. I thought that was good. Well, anyway, I'm going to have to get off that. So there's number one, the expectations of hardness. Number two, there is the obligation that is involved in hardness. Obligation. So where do you get that? Anytime that I am told to do something, I am obligated to do it. Is that not right? When God gives a command, He means for you to do it. I want to show you what I'm talking about when I read this verse, and I'm not correcting the scripture, I'm just trying to stress the point. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That is, you do it. You endure. You are obligated. Amen? You are responsible for enduring. Oh, I like that. Amen. I wrote this down, actually this afternoon, I wrote this down. This is good, I'm telling you, it's good. Lord, I wouldn't have thought if the Lord hadn't given it to me. I may not choose the hardness, but I am to choose the endurance. Is that not good? I don't have a clue, Brother Mike, what hardness is coming my way tomorrow or Tuesday or next week, next month, next year. I don't have a clue what may come tonight. I don't know what is on the brink of me having to confront or me having to deal with. I don't know. I don't choose many times the hardness. I may not choose the hardness, but I am to choose to endure. And with that in mind, I wanted to just further say that endurance is a choice. Enduring hardness, friend, is not robotic. It's not mechanical. It is something that you make a decision and a choice to do. And listen, the very term endurance, Brother Craig, cancels out quitting. Because you can't do both. Enduring cancels out retreating. You can't do both. Amen. Oh, yeah, so there's the obligation. Endurance, listen. Boy, this is good. Actually, Lord, give it to me sitting over there while the singing was going on. Endurance is not something that we should do. Get this now. And it is something we should do. We're told to do it. But Miss Debbie, get this. It's something we can do. Isn't that good? Brother Mike, I'm telling you, God don't tell you to do something that you can't do, that He doesn't enable you to do, that He gives you strength to do. And when God says endure hardness, that's not just something we should do, but it's something we can do. Hallelujah. Boy, isn't that good? Oh, boy, that's a blessing right there. Thirdly, write it down. Complications of that's involved in hardness. And we've already covered that numerous times, I guess, but I just want to make it a point. The complications of involved in hardness. If there's no problems, if there's no complication, then why use the word endure? So that's just an understood thing, amen? I wrote down, what's the purpose of being called a soldier in name only if you're not a soldier in real life? Amen, if there's not enemies. Number three, not only the complication, number four, there is the inspiration behind our endurance of hardness. The inspiration. So where do you get that at? Let's read it. He says in verse number four, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. What is it there that ought to inspire endurance? Pleasing God. Isn't that right? Oh, my stars. I was thinking when Miss Debbie was testifying in the choir about Our God Reigns, Brother Travis and the testimonies that was going on. Did you know that he does reign? The Bible shows that and says that. The Lord omnipotent reigneth. The Lord reigneth. I mean, the scripture's clear on that. When you go outside, if it's not cloudy, and look up, you can see the moon, you can see stars, you can see the Milky Way, you can see galaxies, you can see, I mean, what really cannot even be measured. And all of that is functioning. All of that is, listen, all of that is in its proper place and its proper, what am I thinking here, around the sun? Orbit. And the stars are in their place. All of that, since Genesis, has been created and it's just like it was. You say, wow, that's amazing. You know why? You know why God can do all of that? He doesn't have a will that is opposing him. All he has to do to the sun is say, burn until I tell you to not burn. And thousands of years it's been doing it faithfully and regularly. I know it's dark out there, but the sun's still shining. That's a good point somebody needs to get. The sun didn't go down. The sun didn't go out. It's still burning. That's right. The reason we can't see it here and it's dark here is because the world is between us and the sun. Boy, that brings darkness into our life. But anyway, the reason that he can create the world, the worlds and galaxies and all of that and everything is there just like it was is because there's no opposition to it. But then look what he is trying to do in our life, and it's having great complications because we can say no. We can say, like that video, I ain't doing it. We can say that. I shouldn't have said that, amen. Got y'all on a funny note there, but. So anyway, there is the inspiration. Listen, here's the point. Yes, he is reigning. Here's what I wanted to go with that. Here I wanted to deal with that. He is reigning. He is reigning where he's allowed to reign. He's going to reign in the future, Brother Carroll, on the throne of his father David. He's going to sit on the literal throne and rule in a literal kingdom. He's going to do that. He is going to do that. Are y'all listening? But the question is today, and me personally, is he reigning in your life? Is he on the throne in your life? How can I get excited about him reigning over the sun and moon and stars and the rivers and the animals and the fish and the birds and all of that if he's not reigning over me? I can't get excited about him being some future king in a kingdom and on a throne if he's not exercising his kingship in me and over me now. Amen. That song right there, though it is true, will be meaningless if he is not reigning in your life. That means he is the one in charge. He's the one calling the shots. He's the one. I was thinking today, I was sitting on the couch just reading and looking and meditating more on this. And I thought about the message that Brother Aldridge preached at our youth camp this past year. And I know he was preaching about the prodigal, but it turned out really to be the message about the pen. And there was numerous people had got their pens out and brought them as representative of what he was preaching and placed that on the altar. And the Lord put it in my heart this afternoon to ask us, is that still true in our life? When you make a commitment in an altar, when you make a vow to God in an altar and you give him the pen, so to speak, that's permanent. That's permanent. You know, hey, Jesus, you're king then, your king now, your Lord then, your Lord now. And you still have my pen. I want you to write the chapters of my life, which means I want you to choose the subject. I want you to use the words you want to use. I want you to take me where you want me to go. Amen. And so I felt like the Lord wanted me to just bring that up this evening in the service. Does the Lord still have your pen? So, but the inspiration in behind and underneath the support of our endurance is that heart of wanting to please the Lord. No telling. RBT, listen to me. There's no telling what God can do in here as a church and through this church if that is our heartbeat to please the Lord. When he's coming through these verses, he's coming through verse number 3 into verse number 4, and he's going to that climax. He's going to that here's where I want you to get, that you may please him who hath chosen you to be a soldier. Amen. Do we want to please ourselves? Do we want to please others? A lot of people have thrown their spiritual life away when you get into wanting to please somebody else. Amen. You're going to want to please the Lord. If anything in this, if there's anything that'll keep you from quitting, that right there will. Because I promise you, he will not be pleased if you quit. Amen. He will not be pleased. He will not be pleased when you back up on your convictions that you've made to him over the years. He will not be pleased when you say, well, you know, and you start excusing things. God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with that. And here's what I've seen in the ministry. When that starts, if that ever starts, if the devil can ever get you to start investigating your vows and your altar activity and start second-guessing things and, well, I was just emotional. Or maybe I was just caught up in the moment. Or maybe whatever. And you start second-guessing things, and then you start changing, and then you start backing up on things. Next thing, listen, that right there, if it ever starts, listen, church, if that ever starts, there's no stopping it. Because it will be, okay, I've changed on that. Now I'm going to change on this. And now I'm going to change on that. And then I'm going to change on this. And the next thing you know, your whole spiritual life has been altered and changed. Do you want to please the Lord? That's the inspiration behind it. And let me say this. Let me say this. This point right here is getting a little big right here in my heart. Endurance is not something that you can just step up one day and decide to do. Okay, I'm going to endure it. I know I hate this trouble, this trial, this problem, this issue. I don't like it. The fuel of the heart of endurance is your heart toward God. I want to please the Lord. A soldier that's fighting for America don't mind walk out in the thick of the fight and get in the battle and get in the foxhole, amen, and endanger their own lives if they love this country. And I'm gonna just jump off right here and make a little sideline statement. If the Lord don't show mercy on us, we probably got our last American president right now. When I say American, I'm not talking about a nationality. I'm talking about somebody that loves this country. Somebody that's got this country first in their mind. Amen. Amen. You watch and see, friend, 2 years or 6 years, ever what it's going to end up being. You watch and see, friend, the liberal left are going to stampede the voting boxes. You can believe that, friend. Because they want their country back. But if you love this country, you don't mind fighting for this country and standing for this country. And that's true across the board. If you love your family, you won't mind fighting for your family. If you love your church, you won't mind fighting for your church. Why? That love and wanting to please God ought to inspire you to do so. Well, I got to hurry. I'm getting bogged down here. The inspiration behind enduring hardness. I thought about this morning, early this morning, I thought about, actually there's two avenues of the cause or the inspiration, the two cause, I was going to use the word inspiration on that point, but also was going to use the word causation in that there's got to be a cause. Do you understand there's a cause involved? What I'm preaching about tonight is about a cause, a purpose. And that purpose is to please God. Amen. There's the defending part of fighting. That's when you're defending something. You're protecting something. You're trying to prevent loss of it. But then there's a deliverance side of fighting. You're fighting for something. You're not just fighting against something. You're fighting for something. And both of those should be fueled by your desire to please God. Did you know this? Listen. If you have a desire to please the Lord, and God help us if we don't. If we don't have a desire, if we have a desire to please the Lord, I want to tell you, a lot of your spiritual growth will come from your own personal life, decisions you make, choices you make. That's right. But if you don't desire to please the Lord, yeah, it's okay, yeah, fine, well, if it does and don't. No matter who your pastor is, and no matter what kind of preaching you're exposed to, and no matter what kind of truth you're exposed to, it ain't going to help you. Amen. Anyway, let's move on. So that was the inspiration of pleasing the Lord. There's preparation involved in endurance, as giving example of a soldier here. Brother Trav, you're involved in still yet in the armed forces. We have some that are veterans and so forth. And guess what? It requires training. Amen. It requires training. They don't just you don't just sign up. You don't just sign up and they move you, you know, pack your bags and throw you out there on the front line. No, they train you. I've not been in there. I've been in the God's army. I've been in the foxhole with Baptists for a while. But they don't. It requires training. That's what we're doing here. We get preaching. That's why you come to Sunday school. You get teaching. That's why you're to do your own personal studying, your own personal reading, your own personal research, to know how to be a good soldier so that when the battle time hits and the hardness hits, you're trained and you know what moves to make and what choices to make and what not to make. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's the Word of God. Do you know how to use your weapon? But Bill, you served in the military. Am I right on that? When you were in there, Brother Trav, you can answer this too, I guess. I don't know how many else might be. Did they train you on how to use weapons? And
I was in the Air Force. They barely trained me.
Barely. I'll remember that when I want you to fly me somewhere. Amen. So, Brother Trav, what are you in? Oh, you're in the Air Force. Do we have any fighters in here? No, I'm just kidding. Of what you might face. Whatever kind, if it's chemical or nuclear, whatever kind of potential's there, they train you to know how to respond. If this happens, do this. If this happens, do that. Am I right on that? That's why you need to come to the house of God. Is you get a lot of training here. You get a lot of training. Listen, I think you should. I think you should. I never have laid claim to being the best preacher and all that stuff. And I know y'all hear all this stuff, but I don't feel that way. I know y'all hear this, oh, Preacher Rackley's this and that and the other and all that, but I don't feel that way. Amen. I don't. I feel like I'm the least. I feel like I'm on. Who are y'all talking? I want to ask some of these people, who are you talking about? That man that's named Barry Ratcliffe that you're talking about, I know him. I know him better than anybody. And I don't think you'd be talking about him like that. But I do know the truth that I preach. I do know that. And I believe that God can train people up in spiritual warfare. Amen. I'm going to make a list. I started to make it today, but it's going to be a long one. And I may take a whole service and just read it off when I get it together. On if you listen to my preaching, this is what will happen or not happen in your life. Can I give you one or two? No, I'm not going to do that. Because if I do that, I know if I get started, because it's working. If I get started on that, that's where I'll end up going. I'll just use this one in light of our text. If you listen to my preaching, you'll never quit. Do y'all agree with that? I mean, y'all are on the listening end of my preaching. Is that not right? Do I encourage you to quit? Do I give you help? Do I help you quit? No, I preach against that. If you listen to my preaching, you won't ever quit. Brother, if you listen to my preaching, you're going to endure hardness. That's what we're preaching about. Amen? So anyway, we y'all having a good time tonight? I don't know if y'all are not. But anyway, here we go. So there's preparation involved in enduring hardness. There's separation involved in this enduring hardness. Look at verse number, I've got to pick up some speed here. We're getting bogged down. Look at verse number 4. No man that warreth, now look first, he starts verse 3, personal, thou, therefore. But when he comes to verse 4, he's making it all inclusive of no man. Anybody, anywhere, anytime. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth. If you're saved, you're in the battlefield. If you're saved, you're in the battlefield. Amen. That's what it is. Are y'all listening to the preacher tonight? Is that not what it is? One of the things I left off this morning, I just come back to me when I was talking about evading. This is not saying to evade or to exit or to escape. It means to endure. Nowhere does it ever say that we're to enjoy hardness. Did you know that most ministries are trying their best to make the spiritual life fun when God says it's a fight? That's why most churches are built on entertainment. Amen. That's why most churches, they wouldn't have me preach. They ain't no way. It's not that I wouldn't preach. They're just not going to do it. They don't want the potential that Preacher Ratcliffe might possibly preach on sanctification or separation. Well, what does it say here? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. In other words, if you're a soldier, you're not a civilian. Brother Trav, Brother Bill, anybody else been in the military here? I don't want to just pick on these two. Or not pick on you. Brother McCarricker, what were you in? Well, what do you know? We got a fighter. No, I'm just kidding. We got flyers. We got flyers. Now we got fighters. Anybody else been in the military? Amen. Anybody else been in war besides us married folk? No, I'm just kidding. Now watch this right here. Both Air Force and Army, when you joined, did they give you the attire that would identify you as such? Wow, isn't that amazing? Our own military wants you to look the part. Our own military wants you to dress the part. Wow. Isn't that amazing? And nobody fusses about that. When y'all joined up, Brother Trav, when y'all all joined up And they gave you this, what do they call it? Just clothes? Or what they, is there a milk? They're called what now?
Battle dress uniforms.
Fatigues. That's the word I was trying to find. I'm fatigued myself right now, but they give y'all that. And when they gave that to you to wear and put on, because they want you to look your, they want you to be identified by what you wear. Did anybody get their fatigues and battle, what was it? Dress uniforms. Did they get their stuff? Is this yours, Miss Debbie? They get their stuff and say, well, I tell you right now, I am not fighting on us any for anybody on any side that's going to tell me what I can and cannot wear. I'm quitting. But you come to the house of God and you let a preacher preach on modesty. And you let a man of God preach on women supposed to look like women as far as you can see them. And men should be able to be identified as such as far as you can see them. And they'll get mad and they'll put your lip and quit and go to another church that don't preach against nothing. Here's what I've seen. I'm meddling now. Might as well meddle a little more. Here's what I've seen in my 37 years of being saved. I'm not the smartest thing that ever was, but I have seen some things. When carnality starts showing up in a person's life, it'll start showing up on how they dress. First thing. They'll start changing that. Amen right there. They'll start changing that. They'll start changing their music. Hello. And it'll start showing up in their hairstyles. That's right. Oh, and by the way, while I'm on that, brother, when y'all joined up, did they address your hair? They cut it off. Wow. Did anybody quit when they got in there and sat down and they started? I tell you right now, ain't nobody going to tell me how I wear my hair, short, long, or whatever. They whacking it off, and everybody just liking it. Yeah, whack it off. I want to look like a soldier. I don't want to be entangled. I don't want the enemy to be able to grab me by the hair of the head, Brother Aaron. You don't have no problem with that, do you? I'm having fun tonight, maybe too much. But anyway, there's preparation involved. Being a soldier requires training. There's separation involved. There's separation. You need to make up your mind. Am I going to be a soldier? Am I going to be a soldier? Am I going to be involved in the Lord's fight, the Lord's army? Am I going to be there? Am I going to do that? Is that going to be my choice? Or am I going to mix and mingle and just in and out? And I want to be a soldier by name only. Anyway. Let me get to my illustration. Y'all ready? I know y'all, half of you's done mad now, but how many knows what this is? What is that, Brother Ben? It's a what? Hey, give him an A+. He's homeschooled. That's a ball. All right, what is that? That's a ball. All right, what's that? Man, he is brilliant. But what's the real name of that ball? Oh, you're flunking now, brother. You failed. What is it, Miss Debbie? It's a super ball. Now, is that one? You don't think so. It looks like it, but then when you do what to it? Y'all are squeeze it. This is not just a ball. This is a super ball. Miss Donna's correcting me over here. She says it's a bouncy ball. That's what you've always called it, is a bouncy ball. Amen. But in the Greek, in the Aramaic rendering, it is a super ball. Now, if you want to call it a bouncy ball when you get home, for the message tonight, it's not a bouncy ball, it's a super ball. And the word super identifies the fact that this is more than just a ball. It is identified as a super ball or bouncy ball because it has unusual abilities. It don't just bounce. That was pitiful. Don't y'all think that was pitiful? I mean, that's not even a super ball. That's the kind Miss Donna's talking about. But without preaching all night, here's the point that I'm wanting to drive home. That super ball has the potential, but what brings out that potential is when it is confronted with hardness. Watch this right here now, Miss Lily, this is deep. It bounced there too, didn't it? All right, watch this. Everybody watching? Whoop, missed it. Hey, did you see how quick that was? I don't know why I got my glasses on. I can't see nothing with them on. Now watch this, everybody listen. You may not see it right here. I don't know if you can see it right here. Now watch this right here. You've seen it bounce on something hard. And it didn't bounce as good down there, but it still bounced. But now watch it right here. I threw it the same amount of pressure right there, Brother Craig. Watch it. It won't hardly. You know why? There's a padding under this. This is soft. Even though it's called a super ball, a bouncy ball, and it's got potential of, listen, responding greatly to contact with hardness. But when it makes contact with softness, which is what we would choose in our life, we would never choose hardness. Amen. Are y'all listening? Let me just give you some of the things I wrote down. It's called a super ball not because of its size, not because of its expense. Brother Randy, is this the one you give me? How much? That's probably come out of a bubble gum machine, probably. Huh? 25 cents. Brother Ben, these are your two right here, right? These right here. You don't remember how much Brother Mike paid for them? Because I know you didn't pay nothing for them. Listen, it's not called a super ball because of its size or its expense. It's never put on display. It's not in a trophy case. It's not in the museum somewhere. You know what gives it its name? Its ability to bounce off of hardness. It is God. Listen, I know y'all think I'm depressed, but I went online and did research. I did research on slow motion videos of a ball bouncing. Now you know that I've got too much time on my hand. I mean, there's anything and everything you want to find. There was YouTube videos. I forgot what it was. It was like 2,400 frames a second. Or something, whatever it was. Slow motion bouncing. And I mean, it would show that ball hitting the floor and compressing and then slow motion bouncing back off. Well, then this woman comes on there and she gives all of the scientific details as to the energy that's, you know, it's going down and it builds up energy. The further it goes, the faster it goes. And when it collides, all that energy has got to go somewhere. And because of how it's made and it being hard, and she went into all of the structure of rubber and all of that, it was blowing my mind. All I wanted to see was a slow motion video of a ball. I didn't want to get a lecture on, on creation of rubber. But she was going into all of that, and she was talking about that energy. And she had on there as well, she had some kind of a, what is those little balls you can kick with their feet? What is it? Haggy sacks? Hacky sack. She had one of them. And she said, watch this. And she did exactly the same thing that she did with a super ball, bouncy ball. And she had a number of different kinds of ball. And all it done, Brother Carol, was when it hit the floor, it was just... I got somebody's attention anyway. And she said all of that energy was on that ball as well. But when it hit, that energy was absorbed inside of it because it's soft. I thought, I see some applications there. And then, of course, the hard ball, the super ball, when it would hit, because of its structure, same energy, but that energy was not transmitted to the inside of it. Spongy, soft, but was hard enough to kick that back, kick against that floor, so to speak, and say, no! I'm leaving this hardness and I'm bouncing back. Where's the bounce back in the believers now? What has happened to that? What'd you call that again? Yankety sacks or something sacks? What? Hacky sacks. Y'all can tell I don't have one. I'm against that. I'm just kidding. Hackety rackety sack. My daddy had a Boots Randolph thing he played years ago on saxophone, his yankety sax. And that's why I keep get that in my head. Lord, forgive me. Lord, have mercy. Amen. But anyway, it don't matter. How are you responding to hardness? Are you bouncing back? Them balls are bouncing right back to the hand that was instrumental in making the contact with the hardness. Endurance tells the hardness you're not winning. I may come in contact with you. I may come in contact with you, but you're not going to win because my creator, my designer made me spiritually to where I can bounce back and I can use... Come on now. I can use what's hard, Brother Frankie, to give me identity as being a super ball or a super Christian. Do you want to be a super Christian or do you just want to be a yankety sacks Christian? Yankety sack. Whatever it is, amen. You can tell I'm not doing my best to try to remember that. Or you can be just a little old soft, spongy, little colorful ball that you can't keep up with. Always somebody having to chase you. If you're going to be soft, if you want to be a soft Christian, and hardness comes, and you hit it, you hit that, you're not going to miss, you're going to hit it. There are going to be hard times come. People's not going to look at you and say, wow, that's amazing. I can't believe that. That is amazing. Did you see that? They collided with that hardness and they're still laying there. I want to be a super ball Christian in that when hardness comes, that I bounce in an excelling fashion, sis, away from it. I want to use it. I want to use hardness to give me my identity. Amen. And you know what? Isn't that amazing? We are in a computer age. We're in an age of computer. How many of y'all have a Super Bowl in your house? Raise your hand. Look, there are hands going up everywhere. Rebuke her, Brother Green. Isn't that amazing? Ryan, even in our high technology age, people still loves to play with these. Why? Because they respond greater than the hard thing that they're hitting against. And I don't know if they make them like they used to, but I'm telling you, when we was growing up, we could get in our basement with the doors closed, and I mean, we would throw them things and they would bounce and ricochet and hit this and go over there. And a lot of times we'd lose them. They just kept bouncing. And I mean, and that was amazing to me. I mean, we didn't have a lot of these video games and mess. I mean, we didn't even have that, what is that years ago, Atari or a, what? Atari. That's what we had, you know. I mean, just stuff like that. We had to make our own wagons. Seriously, we had to make our own wagons. We couldn't even buy, we didn't have money to buy wagons. We'd make a homemade wagon, get a piece of plywood and some nails, and we'd make our own wagons and nearly get killed on them things. We'd go to the highest mountain and come off there bouncing in the sky, jump over jumps and run into trees. It's a wonder I'm alive. But people today still are playing with them, or at least still have them in their house. Why? Because the fact that hardness don't kill it. Hardness don't break it. Hardness don't destroy it. In fact, hardness just simply lets it demonstrate what its designer created it to do. Boy, that's the way we ought to be, isn't it? Amen. I know I left a bunch. I had a whole page of parallel things to say about that, but I think you got the gist of it. Amen. But the devil wants us not to endure hardness. He wants us to reject hardness. He wants us to respond. And by the way, even if you're a Super Bowl, I'm not going to demonstrate this. You know why thank you, Lord. You know why that this, Brother Adam, do you know why that this right here just is bouncing right back up? It's because it's going straight down and hitting it head on. I'm not going to do this because I may lose the ball. That's not mine, Brother Randy. But if I were to throw it and it hit the hard object at an angle instead of straight on, and that's what you need to do in life is just learn to face things straight on, it will bounce at an angle and go away from the one. It would go away from me. Amen. Face it. You got to face things in life. I don't like that, and you don't either. I'm not a confrontational preacher. I don't like it. I despise it. I wished I could live the rest of my life and never have to confront nothing. If I can avoid it, and that's got me in a lot of trouble before, just letting things go, hoping it'd fix itself. Just hit it head on, face it, and let God use it in your life.